Excellent. So today we are thinking about the biblical concept of repentance. I wonder if you can remember a time when you didn't repent. The word repent basically means turn around. Turn 180 degrees from living in sin to turn and follow Jesus. Repentance means more than just feeling regret or remorse about what you've done. Repentance is leaving sin in the past. Repentance is fighting sin. I wonder if you can remember a time when you didn't repent. A few years ago, I was moving in with some friends after getting a full-time job, after finishing MTS at St. Thomas's in Sydney. It was a very busy time for me. The full-time job was demanding, and I was looking forward to getting another one. The shared house that I moved into, it was a bit of a disappointment. Well, that was fine, but it wasn't as fun as I was hoping. I carefully planned it out. I moved in with select friends who I got along with really, really well. And I thought, this is going to be fantastic. But soon after moving in, my friends were making plans about moving elsewhere. And just for various reasons, like getting married, getting a new job, etc. They kind of fell apart. And in this turbulent time, I remember finding it very hard to be careful about what Netflix shows I watched. I knew why I was bad to talk about this stuff. But when you feel like you're in the wars and you wonder if God is looking after you, it's easy to let your morals slip a little bit. You forget the importance of repentance, intentionally turning your back on sin. And you start to slide and drift into worldliness and complacency. I wonder if you can relate. Our passage today, Mark 6 to 30, is rich with deep connections to the rest of Mark's gospel. We'll be looking at Mark 6 to 30 in two halves. The first half is where Jesus sends his 12 disciples to proclaim the gospel around Israel. And in the second half, we get an interesting insight into the response of the Jewish king, King Herod. This King Herod was Herod Agrippa I, the last Jewish king of Judea, and the grandson of Herod the Great, who was the ruler of Judea when Jesus was born. So it's the grandson of that Herod. And funnily enough, interesting historical note, Judea was gifted political independence from Rome under Herod Agrippa I's kingship between 41 AD to 44 AD. And it became a Roman quiet state after he died. Herod Agrippa's son, the final ruler of the Herodian dynasty, Herod Agrippa II, served as a tetrarch, subordinate ruler, under the rule of the Roman Empire. I think that'll make a little bit more sense when we get a little bit further into the sermon. But that brings me to point number one. Point number one, Jesus' message is repent and believe. Jesus' message is repent and believe. Read verses 7 to 9 and 12 with me. So verse 7 to 9 and 12 of chapter 6. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. And down to verse 12. So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. The first half of this passage is simpler than the second. Mark writes about what happened following the healing of the bleeding woman and Jairus' daughter at the end of chapter 5. Jesus returns to his hometown, and chapter 6, verses 1 to 6, the end of the section that Jack preached on last week, recounts that his presence at the local synagogue caused so much of a stir that he could do no mighty work there, except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. Jesus marvels at this response and decides to go teach in the surrounding villages. And in verses 7 to 11, he enlists the 12's help, and he sends them out in pairs, and gives them very interestingly specific instructions. Instructions that seem kind of bizarre at first. The most striking verses in this section are verses 8 to 11, which we read a little bit before, so I'll just read them out again. Verses 8 to 11. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey to the staff. No bread, no bag, no money in the belt, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that place. If any place will not welcome you, and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. This is a very minimalist approach, isn't it? Why does Jesus prohibit them from taking food, possessions, or money? It's because of the message. The message of the gospel, repent. Repent. The disciples would be living examples of whether the town repented or not. I'm sure you know how difficult it is, and how difficult it can be, to talk about the gospel with others. Anything is easier to talk about, especially when you're enjoying a meal or admiring someone's wealth or possessions. It's even difficult to hear the message of the gospel at church. You often hear about people turning to Christ after years of coming to church and missing the message. A minister at EV, the church I grew up at, his name is Dave Jensen, some of you might know him, has one of these faith stories. He says that he often found it easy to be distracted by anything and everything at church when he was younger. Bricks, other people, stained glass windows, etc. The gospel message, repent, is confronting, but it's exactly what we need to hear. And that brings us to the application. Two questions to consider. The first one is there a messenger in your life who is calling you to repent? Is there a messenger in your life who is calling you to repent? It's easy to get defensive and become offended when someone points out the sin in your life and calls you to repentance. But these reactions don't consider the great love behind such a call, even if it's communicated a little poorly. We need people to point us towards the light of the gospel in the dark world that we live in. So seek out brothers and sisters who call you to repentance. We need each other. And that brings us to the second question of application. Have you repented? Have you repented? Have you turned away from a sin in your life? Have you confronted the darker side of your human nature and called out to God for forgiveness and strength to enable you to walk with Him, following the Lord Jesus Christ? Everyone needs to repent. No one can repent for you, no one can repent for me. We each need to confront our sin and turn away from it. We each need to repent. And that brings us to point number two. Point number two, Jesus' warning. Jesus warning the danger of unrepentance. All right, we'll read verses 14 to 20 of chapter 6. 14 to 20. King Herod heard it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason the powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent a man who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother's, Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. The story seems a little random after verses 7 to 13. Why do we get such a detailed account of King Herod Agrippa's response to the gospel message of repentance? What would the gospel have to do with a king, the ruler of a country? Kings do what they want. Well, we just looked at the lineup after this flashback. But when we look at it more carefully, we see that Herod immediately thinks of John the Baptist when he hears this gospel message of repentance. Herod is consciously struck. The past comes back to haunt him. Herod remembers that he killed John the Baptist and thinks that he might be raised from the dead. King Herod Agrippa I's heart was divided and twisted. While seeking to maintain his reputation, Herod experienced the temptations common to man. The thing is, he didn't repent. And his story is a warning to all of us today. His story illustrates the danger of unrepentance. In the second half of the story, it gets cringy. The writer of Mark recounts a birthday banquet where Herod hosted his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. And a girl, the daughter of Herodias, with whom Herod had been involved in an incestuous relationship, danced half-naked for the pleasure of middle-aged men. And it's obvious that this wasn't an innocent dance, like what you experience at the end of year production at your local school. This is more like what happens in a King's Cross brothel, but with the added disturbing dimension of incest. It's not good. And following this dance, King Herod makes a public promise in front of his guests. Herod offers the girl anything, up to half his kingdom. It's shocking when you think about it. He was the ruler of Judea. This is not any old country. This is the promised land. This is where God gathered his chosen people, Israel. Herod was given the privilege of being a sovereign over his homeland. He had a precious privilege, but disregarded it to have a lasting impact, a lasting impression on his guests. Herod's guests would remember how much he could give away, just like that. To cut the story short, Herodias' daughter, in obedience to his mother's wish, asked for the head of John the Baptist, who condemned her relationship with Herod, and Herod complies. John the Baptist is the first person who communicates the gospel of repentance in the Gospel of Mark. You see that in Mark chapter 1. And Herod silences him. But Herod was not able to silence the gospel of repentance. Herod is judged by the message which John proclaimed. No one is above the gospel. Not even Herod Agrippa I, who appeared to be the most powerful man in Judea during Jesus' life. We experience many warnings in life. I was listening to a podcast recently where the podcaster is American. He was describing a certain American city which he left for another city. He said that the government of this city spent a lot of time saying that the city was being managed fine and that it was a good place to live. But the podcaster reported that he often found homeless people face down in the gutter outside his house or high on heroin. And these often bad occurrences caused the man to take his family elsewhere. It was a clear warning he just couldn't ignore. The story of Herod functions in a similar way to highlight the danger of unrepentance, highlighting it by giving us an unmistakable insight into the heart of a man who just didn't care. And that brings us to three questions of application. The first question is, do you see how ugly unrepentance is? Do you see how ugly unrepentance is? Our world increasingly incorrectly sees unrepentance as liberation and freedom. But do you see that Herod's actions in response to hearing the message are ugly? It's not right. Second question. Do you see that we don't always have time? Do you see that we don't always have time? Herod heard the gospel message of repent, repent, verse 14, and yet continued to live as though it had nothing to do with him, nothing to do with his life. He continued to live as though he was above accountability for his life. He did not consider repentance an urgent priority. And this negligence brought him disaster. don't delay repentance. We live in God's time. We live on borrowed time. Now is the time to turn back to God. Now is the time to repent. And that brings us to the third question. Do you see that unrepentance is sin? Herod acted like most kings did back then. He did what he wanted, but he couldn't escape God's judgment. No one can live in unrepentance and pretend it doesn't matter. Unrepentance is sin. And that brings us to the conclusion. True believers repent. They turn away from sin and wholeheartedly follow their Lord and Savior. Have you repented? Is there something you need to confess to God and turn away from? If so, don't delay. Repent. Accept God's merciful offer of complete forgiveness. Don't presume on God's mercy, because by doing so, you're making the same mistake that King Herod did the first day. Acts chapter 12, verse 20-23, recounts that Herod continued in unrepentance until his death. I'll read it for us. Acts 12, verse 20. Now Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, so they came to him in a body. And after winning the on an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat on the platform, and delivered a public address to them, the people he was speaking to. The people kept shouting, "The voice of God, not of a mortal." And immediately, because he had not given the glory to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. It's a bit bleak. But let's joyfully avoid a miserable end like this disappointing king. In repentance, we joyfully give God the glory and joyfully shape our lives around honoring the great God who saved us. Let's pray and take the next step of joyful repentance together. I'm just going to pray a basic prayer of repentance. And so please come and find me afterwards if you want to talk more. Dear God, I know that I am not worthy to be accepted by you. I don't deserve your gift of eternal life. I am guilty of rebelling against you and ignoring you. I need repentance. Thank you for sending your son to die for me, that I might be forgiven. Thank you that you rose from the dead to give me new life. Please forgive me and change me, that I may live with Jesus as my ruler. Amen.